You are listening to Zoom, the Retro Comic Book Show.
Promised last episode or past couple episodes, JD and I are going to review League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Not the movie, but volume one of the comic book series by Alan Moore. And I didn't think that you really read it because I thought it would be too long and long-winded and boring in your opinion.
Well, you hit it on the jackpot. there are some aspects of it I kind of wish wasn't a movie, but this thing, not because number one, I'm a stickler on numbering pages. This bitch is not numbered at all. You could thumb through the sucker, you know what damn page is on what, because there's no numbers at the bottom. I know it's basic, but to me, that's important, the number of your pages, okay? Now, number two, the way it is laid out is it's just like a, how to put this? It's, to me, Tim, the way it's laid out is very ho-hum, average. I like a little splash to my panels, to the comic panels. I like a little panels to be different sizes, all of them to be different and kind of wild out there. Now, I'm talking about the logistics of the book, all right? Number three, I do not even bother to freaking read the Magnificent Story. Alan and the Sunder and the Sundered Veil. Alan and the Sundered.
Yeah, me neither. I didn't. It's a backup story in each of the episodes. Yeah. I mean, each of the comic books is a written prose like the book.
Now, number four. In the beginning, there's some handwritten. How to put this? Captions, and I didn't like that. Just like the Watchmen. Remember that part in The Watchmen? I hated to death. It took you out of the story. It was with it was a whole different damn story, Tim. What was it called?
With the pirate?
Yes.
They didn't have a story like that in here.
No, they did not. But I'm talking about there was a handwritten, how to put this, a calligraphy scene. I don't like that because it's, number one, it's hard to read sometimes. Number two, just keep it uniform. Having talked about the logistics of the book, the content of the book itself is brilliant. I love it. Okay. Of course. Oh, I'm sorry.
You think issue by issue, or you just want to talk about it in general?
I'm sorry. Okay, we could do it issue by issue if you want. I'm sorry.
You know what I'm talking about with this first issue, because I'm trying to remember as I'm looking at it now. We introduced to the secret. It's like the secret hand of the government, like a CIA or whatever. I think it's MI5 is called, but it's headed by James M. Bond or something like that. I guess he's supposed to be a distant relative of James Bond. But they made him seem like a little bitch ass nigga.
Yes, they did.
Why'd they do that to James Bond's family legacy?
I don't think they like that, the legacy. It's an effort. We don't own the copyrights. We're going to F up the copyright. Go ahead.
But I'm just saying, it's being started up. Well, he's a government liaison, but the one who they want to get all the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen together is, I think Harkness is her name. The girl from the old book of Dracula. The female heroine in Dracula. So I guess that would be Winona Ryder's character in that movie, the Francis Ford Coppola movie.
That's right. I mean, think about that. That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she was married to... I keep on forgetting that guy. I think his name is Harkness. I forgot his name. The guy who tried to kill and go after Dracula. But she's a divorced woman. But I don't know why they hire her, and her first person, this whole first book is about her going to find Alan Quatermain,
yeah.
The famous adventurer. And the only thing I know about Quatermain, I know there was a book, I know now he's a famous book character, I guess probably English, but there was a movie, remember Alan Quatermain and the Something of Gold in the 80s?
City of Gold?
Yeah.
And the gay dude played him.
I forgot that dude's name. The dude who played in Shogun. I forgot got his name.
No, he was gay in real life.
Why is that the important issue for you?
Because he fooled everybody in the damn 80s. Because everybody was loving him. And the Thornbirds, they were loving his ass. He came out as gay. I'm like, yeah, like Ricky Martin. Yeah, Richard Martin.
Richard Chamberlain.
Yeah, yes.
That's who
Quatermain in the Lost City of Gold.
But they only came out with, to me, I'd always thought that was a ripoff of Indiana Jones, but of course he came first. But they only made that movie probably because Indiana Jones, you know, sons of bitches. Just like they only made The Shadow in the 1990s and The Phantom because of Batman. Yep. Dick Tracy too.
Dick Tracy. So you're right. Quatermain is a fast, interesting leading man's subject. I don't know why they can't expound on him. Do you think his drug use has something to do with it?
Wait, his drug use had to do something with? Are you talking about within this comic book?
Well, with his legacy, him being an opium addict.
Now, see, I don't know. I'm not familiar with the books. Like in the adventure movies, adventure books, you know, they don't talk about. Mm-hmm. They probably don't talk about his opium. It might have been something Alan Moore made up, or he might have just made it bigger than it was. You know how they always try to make a Sherlock Holmes a cokehead all the time.
Yeah,
because in the books he used to sniff, but he wasn't a straight out addict in the books. But then they play that up in some of the stories, you know, that he was a cokehead. But that's how.
There was one Sherlock Holmes movie. I went to the library a couple of months ago. I don't want to get the subject real quick. And you're right about that, how they expound on things. You know, I forgot the name of this Sherlock Holmes, but it was not damn good. But I have to admit, the first 30 minutes, he's talking to Watson, you know, his partner in his apartment, and he says, I don't know, Watson, what to do. He gets up from the table, and Watson says, will you stop doing that? The camera cut. They cut to him rolling up his arm and sleeve, taking the needle out. I'm like, oh, damn, this is hardcore. He said, this makes me feel better, Watson. This was made back in the 60s. I'm like, whoa, what the fuck, what is this? He said, this makes me feel better. And I'm like, why are you doing that? I looked it up. And they said he was doing, what is it called? Not opium, Tim. Morphine. I'm like, what the fuck, what is this? He went from snorting cocaine to shooting up morphine? What the fuck? And he said, different filmmakers and different authors took liberties. I said, now hold up, that's a damn liberty. This is my hero. You know that song by the Foo Fighters, there goes my hero? No. The movie was bad. The movie was horrible. Not because of that, because the whole story sucked ass. But that, in the first 30 minutes, Watson said, will you stop doing that? And I thought, I'm like, what are you talking about? They cut, he rolled up his sleeve, and his needle out. No, this makes me feel better. I'm like, whoa.
Okay, we get back to Leave Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I'm sorry that this bothered me. Anyway, I like how he got cured of his morphine, his opium, really easy in this book. And I'm like, okay.
No, he did not. He was having withdrawals in Nemo.
Yeah, he was having withdrawals.
Okay.
In fact, after he blew off Dr. Jekyll's damn ear, they went into the city to a morphine, opium thing, looking for the man. And he was having, like, withdrawals, and Jekyll was having withdrawals too from killing niggas. He had to control himself. You remember that scene?
Yeah, I didn't know that Mr. Hyde was having withdrawals from killing people.
Yeah, because Quatermain said, yeah, he said, I had to control myself. And Jekyll said, me too. I can't trust my own self either. I'm like, oh, damn. And I went back to the panels. Sure enough, they showed his eyes getting all small. He's sweating. I'm like, what the fuck is this? You got a junkie.
What you think,
and a crazy
what you think of the art so in it?
The art, I love the art. I just kind of wish the panels wasn't so boring. I kind of wish you would have done differently with the panels, Tim. Because that contains the artwork. but I thought the art was brilliant. I thought the Nautilus kick ass. And you know what? Even with the movie, because a lot of people hated the damn movie because they read this book, but I didn't read the book and I saw the movie, and I loved the movie. Even in the movie, Captain Nemo came across as a consistent character, and I loved his artwork. I loved the way they made him look. I loved that.
Oh, okay, so, and you... Oh, and then, okay, let me skip through then. We don't have to talk about issue to issue. But, oh, but okay, Quartermain, that first issue, you like the introduction where he, well, you know, they had to rescue him from the opium dens. And the they was chasing him. They should have been caught, but anyway, they chased him. And then that big giant boat, came, they chased him to the docks, and the Nautilus came up out the water. And I thought that was good.
Yeah, he said to the lady, forgive me, but is it the opium? Can you see that as well? Then he cut a nice-ass Nautilus. That was tight. That was tight. Now
what you think of this, and then the next issue, and there's a lot of talking that I hated. There's a lot of talking in the first scenes of the second one where she's talking to Bond, James Bond. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about Bond and her and her little conversations. You know, I want to get back to the action, but this is the issue where... Go ahead.
Well, it is too talky.
But in the second issue, they went to go to a girls' school to find the Invisible Man, and where they thought... I'm looking at the building. It's called Schattenfrau. It's a school... It's called the Rosa Coates Correctional Academy for Wayward Women. And I just know the building is shaped like a woman with a woman's ass. The roof is a root woman's ass. And you can see her face and you see a big hand. The doorway is a hand, so it looks like a hand smacking an ass.
Yeah, do you see the female director with the big titties?
Yeah. She was a freak.
Yeah, so you're beating the females?
Yeah, but there was references to other females in other books. I think either Taming of the Shrew or something like that. But they went to investigate that school because there's a ghost. They were looking for, I forgot the dude's name, who is the Invisible Man. I should know this dude's name because that's my favorite movie, one of my favorite movies. But anyway, they went to look to the school because there's a ghost that's been impregnating women, but they know that it's not a ghost. And it turns out to be the Invisible Man. And they, in the scene where they stay in the night and they're waiting, you know, to go find him, a girl is screaming. And all the girls come out the room and they see one girl flying in the air.
Yeah.
Being fucked.
I love that scene. Her legs are wide open. Oh, God. Oh, God.
She's being raped.
Dude, she... No, Tim. It was...
And how could he keep a hard on fucking a girl when he seen there's a whole bunch of women watching her getting fucked?
You know what? You're right about that. You're right. It's like, when you lose your hardness... Dang.
But I guess he must be a sick motherfucker.
Oh yeah, you got that? Yeah, Timmy. And did you see the scene where Quartermain said, "Good God, you're right. I can feel something. It's like naked skin." And I said to myself, "You probably got your face into his ass because the panel had the girl upside down get effed. Quartermain had his arms around something, and I'm like, that's probably the little man's ass, you idiot." He said, "Good God, I can feel like naked skin." Oh, man. Ooh. He was getting his groove on. He was doing everything that every normal man would be doing if he had invisible.
You know what I'm saying? Why they want to work with... the people that they got together to work with are less scrupulous.
Well, you know,
first thing, they got a drug addict a rapist.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go after Hyde, who is
a monster.
A serial killer. Yeah, but he's a serial killer. He's been killing women for years.
Yes, and you know what? That's one thing. When I read that, I thought about the movie. I said, yeah, the movie took a PG-13 look at this bitch because they softened it up like a mother effer, dude. This is hardcore. Yeah, because remember the movie, The little man came into the room, hello, put his coat on. I said, no, nigga, that ain't the way you got introduced. F you. You was raping, nigga. You was raping. Yeah, I do agree with you on that. I do agree with you.
What about the scene where they had to go into the city undercover and Harkness, she went in with Griffin, that's his name, Griffin Hawley, the Invisible Man, and he painted his, you know, he in the mirror. I like how, because you talk about the panels, but I like the panel where they are, it's like a nine panel page,
yeah,
and they're explaining everything at the top. You know, they're just explaining their mission, but instead of showing her face, they're showing Invisible Man in the mirror getting ready. He's putting on this white makeup and the wig and eyeglasses to cover up his invisibility.
That works. But you know, that worked. I like that. In fact, I like that myself. You're right about that. That stuck out my mind. That was well done. I did like it. It's just, it's repeated too many times in the book, that same panel structure. I like the explanations, though. I do like it, though. Do you like when she said to him, he kept asking her about her marriage, and she said, as for my marriage and your lower urges, I don't feel that these are suitable subjects for your conversation. I
mean, yeah. Like, well, she was like that with everybody. She wouldn't talk. She was just cold with everybody because she wanted to be taken seriously, even though why are you wearing a dress? But anyway. She's a bitch. Okay, in the bad guy's hideout. Okay, I forgot this Asian bad guy. He's like,
Mr. Fong?
Mr. Fong or the doctor?
He's
like the Yellow Claw or one of those kind of Oriental bad guys from the back in the days. Anyway, they're in this hideout. They're climbing down a rope. They're trying not to be seen. Okay, he and Alan Quartermain was under her and she was above him. And she's like, don't be looking under my dress. It's like, first of all, bitch, you ain't got nothing under there. You got on those women wear those long underwear things. It doesn't show nothing. You can't see pussy, leg, nothing. And then it had him with a look on his face. Ooh, it's like, there's nothing there to see. She was just an a-hole. See, I mean, do you like her character?
Not in this book. In the movie, I did.
In the movie, she was less stronger, and she was not the head. It was Alan Quartermain. They made the head. He was in charge. Which, anyway, that could be sexism. Because here, first of all, she didn't have to be a supernatural character. She was just a familiar with supernatural character like Dracula. I don't know how that makes her qualified, just because she survived that, to be the head.
Look, Tim, can I be honest? And that's one thing I had a problem with. The movie, it worked because she wasn't the head. In this book, she's the head recruiting everybody. I'm like, wait a minute, what gives her qualifications? She got her neck ripped apart.
In the movie, they made her a vampire female. In here, she was bitten because she had scars on her neck, but she covers up her neck all the time, but she was not a vampire. So
no, that's what I don't understand. At least, in the movie, it made kind of sense. She got bit, right? Then you would get bit, you become a vampire. In this book here, she's in charge of getting everybody together, but there's no damn background. I'm like, okay, you have power.
Her background was that she had contact with the supernatural or the unusual, and so she has experience with it. I guess that's what it would be.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Even though. But I think that he just wanted to put a woman in there, have a woman character.
Woman character?
Yeah, and he said, we're going to make it so she can be strong without having superpowers or anything like that. But,
you saw the movie, right?
Yeah, I saw
it. Okay, I don't have no problem with the movie, dude. I kind of wish, though, they could have went a little more hardcore. But that's okay. I have no problem with the movie because a lot of people said this is a blasphemy, this is an abomination, and I'm like, you know what? I don't have too much of a problem with that because I didn't read the book at the time. But having just read this, I just kind of wish it would have put it more hard edge. It made it hard R, not a PG-13. It made this an R. But that's okay. You know, I mean,
no, they're trying to get families to come in, nigga.
Well, yeah.
But what you think of Nemo in here? Where Nemo, I like it where he was concerned about Bond. He didn't trust James Bond. And he had his, you know, he had other ways of finding out what James Bond was up to, because they go to this mission to find out about this, get this, or they had to go get this thing from the doctor, the, you know, the Asian guy. They had to get this, or this power source, so he couldn't fuel his ships. But but Nemo didn't trust James Bond, you know, and he had little spies and stuff. I like that aspect of the story.
You know what? And yeah, me too. Which the character of Captain Nemo always fascinated me. In the movie, he was well done. He was like a damn little Indian dude.
But what about here? He's better done. Come on, he's better done here.
Oh, yeah. It's like he exerts his power more in this book here. In the movie, he was, how to put this, he was good in the movie, but this book, he fleshed out a little bit more. I kind of like that a little bit. And you know what, Tim? Now that you say that, I don't think he's as suspicious of everybody, come to think of it, in this book.
Yeah, he was.
He was suspicious of everybody, and I like that. I like that.
I don't think he's suspicious of Quartermain. But he was like, y'all Americans, y'all let y'all women say what they want to say, do what they want. I'm like, damn.
And Morati, of course, like in the movie, they kept that in there.
Oh, yeah, he was behind every, well, I ain't going to tell you, but yeah, more, because that's, well, yeah, I guess you could say.
Sherlock Holmes.
He was a major bad guy in this story here. And there's a twist to that. There's a little twist in terms about who the bad guy is. But the one thing I like at the end, what's his name? Mr. Hyde had to save their asses because they was getting, there was a whole bunch of henchmen for the doctor running around about to kill our heroes. Then he came and was tearing everybody a new asshole. And he was working with Invisible Man, and Invisible Man said, "What you looking at?" And he's like, or something like that. He said, "Why are you staring at?" Because nobody could see the Invisible Man. He said, "I'm trying to find out where you at. I'm just looking at your voice because you know I can't see you." But we see that Mr. Hyde can see.
Yeah.
But he keeps that to himself.
Yes, that bugged me out. I'm like, and you know, I like that because it's like you can see his blood, his heat. Is that what you call it, man?
His dermal vision. He, as Mr. Hyde, I guess he can see things differently than the rest of us. But I'm like, that is cool. He said, what are you staring at? He said, I'm looking for you, dude. I can't see you, even though we saw that dead world, that he saw his body signature very clearly.
I'm like, damn, Mr. Hyde, what kind of senses are you? Do you have? You know? I was going to say to you, I'm not upset with the liberties he took with the movie. Now, with the movie Van Helsing, I was extremely upset because that movie, the character was based on a legendary character that Peter Cushing made famous, and the character was hardcore. The movie was a joke. It was an abomination. That made me upset, okay? But the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, I don't know if you've seen that or not with Hugh Jackman. I don't know if you've seen it or not. No. The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, to me, I think it did a good job adapting from the book being a PG-13. I just want to hope if they're going to make a sci-fi series of this being hardcore. And the reason why I say sci-fi, because, Tim?
Yeah.
Oh, my battery might be going out pretty soon. But anyway, with sci-fi, sci-fi shows a lot of different shows. Alphas, Warehouse, Eureka. You know what I mean? So hopefully they could adapt this, man, one day.
And they go put this on the side. It would be better on HBO, but they ain't going to do no series. They already did the movie. It bombed. And I don't think they're going to make another one. But so overall, did you like this story?
Yes, I did. I really did.
So, and is there any other themes or any other things that stuck out to you that you cared to talk about before I end it?
I just kind of wish it would use different structure for panels. But other than that, It's a very good graphic novel.
As long as you can see what's going on the panels, I don't see what the problem is.
Oh, God. But you do have a point. It's too wordy. It is too wordy. So, other than that, you know, I liked it. I did like it.
Would you be interested in reviewing Volume 2 of this?
Yes. Which is Okay.
Because that's really a trip. Because they already set up how that's going to be in this, so you could tell that he knew what he was going to write in the next one when he was writing this, because there's newspaper articles about, and also panels of these things coming to Earth in ships from Mars.
Like comets, yeah. In the last panel, yeah. Yep.
So basically, the War of the Worlds, that's what the next one, from H.G. Wells, War of the Worlds, those aliens are the bad guys. In this next one, they set up here about Mr. Hyde can see Invisible Man, but Invisible Man doesn't know that. It pays off in the next one.
Dinner time, don't be stopped. okay.
If you thought that scene with the girl, with the girl is getting raped by Invisible Man as a ghost was fucked up. This is even more fucked up. That's all I'm gonna say. That's all I'm gonna say about it. And I did like this next one because the next one they put in some other literary stuff that you'll be familiar with, and a certain doctor who experimented with animal people is in that next one also.
Dr. Moreau. Ooh.
All right, thanks for doing this. This is Timmy Doom. Go to doomcast.blogspot. Yeah, okay. Go to doomcast.blogspot.com. Until next time, peace.
Peace out. Okay, Tim. I'll talk to you later.
All right, man.